5:04 on a Wednesday afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Sportsline Rich Roth Ed Lane here live all across ESPN Radio in Virginia. 12:40 in Roanoke, 93.3, 13:20 in Lynchburg, 7:30 Southside, and 13:50 in beautiful Bedford, Virginia. Folks, welcome to the show. We've got a dandy coming your way here today as Gary Hess joins us once again coming up in just a few minutes. Been a while since we've talked with Gary. Always love his perspective. We'll talk some Hoos, Hokies, Washington Redskins, and plenty more. As he's always got great opinions. And a fun guy to talk to. Also locally on the links, we'll talk with Marty Chandler, director of golf out at London Downs, as they've got some stuff going on here in the fall as we are approaching absolutely gorgeous golf weather. And we look forward to talking with him a little bit later on in the show. Hi, Ed.
What's going on, Rich?
How you doing, man?
I'm all right. Grinding away. How are you doing?
Grinding away. I like the way you put that. Quick shout out to some of our sponsors. Thanks to Mabry Auto Group, Lynchburg Nissan, Lynchburg's used car king. Good folks at Bass Side Farm, the good old Bass Boys at Bass Side Farm. Great time of year to lay some fescue sod. Richmond Raceway, big race weekend coming up this weekend at Richmond. Go to richmondraceway.com for details. Arthur's Jewelry, Centertown, Bedford. Jim Messier, my guy, getting ready to head to Antwerp. Get those diamond orders placed. Gano sausage. It's grilling season, Ed.
Country Boy on the label means quality at the tailgate.
Yeah, I mean, what better thing to bring to a tailgate? Lots of it going on now with children's football and college football and pro football. Lots of tailgating. Also, Indigo Air Spa. Treat yourself, gentlemen.
Well, it's not just massages. They've got the wellness tank. They've got the sauna. Other things to improve your overall body wellness and get that body synced up with your brain and flowing and feeling a lot better.
So I'm anxious to talk with Gary Hess. What's the biggest thing you're wondering as we approach the opportunity? It's been months, I think.
It has been months.
He's fallen out of rotation for some reason.
He has. Well, shorter show, trim the rotation down.
Well, maybe it's his potty mouth, too.
Well, I mean, that's happened a couple times now. We had to, you know, get on him about that. Unfortunately, we're not at the point yet where we can let the language slip.
You just can't wait for that day where you can get on the radio and just start cursing. You're all about profanity, aren't you, Ed?
No, it's not even that. It's the principle of the matter. Every other audio medium can do it. Heck, even cable TV, you get more curse words than ever before that aren't beeped out. But, you know, somehow radio has to operate by a different set of standards yet again.
Well, is it different than network TV? I mean, because cable's different. Right? Doesn't cable TV have different standards?
But I mean, should they have different standards from network TV? I mean, who has rabbit ears and just gets four channels now? Fox, CBS, NBC, and ABC.
You're forgetting PBS.
Oh, I'm sorry, Rich. Five. PBS actually has some interesting documentaries, Frontline and stuff like that. But I digress, Rich. The point of the matter is that, you know, again, different standards. You can easily access on your mobile phone all sorts of audio consumption with explicit content, unedited, and yet in radio, somehow you can't. And don't give me this nonsense of, well, everyone's got a radio. Most everyone has a smartphone, too. I do. I listen to the ESPN INVA app regularly. How is what goes over our app any different from what somebody listens to on their iTunes or on their podcast? I mean, this is ridiculous.
Well, I don't think it's a problem if it goes over the app. It's just if it goes over the airwaves.
I mean, yeah, but it's not like you're doing two different versions.
Your explicit language. You can't wait. What word do you want to say the most?
I don't know. It depends on what my mood is, Rich. I can't predict what that's going to be. It just depends on the day. Probably going to be something like this effing moron. What really annoys the bleep out of me.
Head.
I mean, I can give you an insight into some of the phrases, and it's going to be on select days. Not every day, but there are certain days where I'm just fired up.
There are certain days where you just want to use explicit language on the radio.
Not even all the time, but just for a very short burst. Yeah, I try to keep my mouth in check, regularly speaking, but I can't do it all the time, let's be honest. Which is a rarity for me, yes, Willis, I know.
Oh, Lord. You are such a breath of fresh air.
By the way, speaking of rants, can I just go on a quick one before Gary Hess hops on? Because I popped up the web to get an idea of, you know, what else is going on outside of our local area. Now it's Jimmy Butler who requests a trade. I don't want to play for my current team in the NBA, so I'm going to wham, wham, wham my way out of it. Shut the bleep up. It's such a great league. The players have so much control. Yes, and you can't build a winning franchise no matter how hard you try. Because players are just going to say, screw it. Only if I were on a podcast, it may sound a little different than that. But players are going to say, screw it. I want to play somewhere else, so I'm going to force the team's hand. By the way, kudos to the Spurs sending Kawhi to Toronto, even if it's for 1 year. Suck it, buddy. You got to be in the cold Pacific Northwest, not L.A.
Yeah, you want it out?
Not Pacific Northwest, but north of the border.
You want it out? You're out.
Yeah, we'll give you your wish. We'll let you leave. We're just not going to send you where you want to go.
No, that's and that's the great leverage that that the teams have right now.
I mean, look, you know the guys are going to leave. You're not going to get much in return. You might as well just, you know, all right, guys are going to tell us where they want to go anyway, or they're only going to go to six franchises. So in the meantime, while we have control over them, we're just going to make them suffer.
Well, let me say this, Ed, in response to your rant.
Yes.
I've been to Minnesota, and I've been to Minnesota in the winter.
Oh, we know about this. You had a near-death experience on the ice.
Quote, unquote.
Yeah, wasn't very thick ice.
Wasn't as thick as it was
advertised.
As was advertised.
False advertising.
By my father-in-law, by the way. Thanks for that. Somebody who wants
to get you out of the way.
Somebody who wants out of Minnesota. I have a hard time faulting him. I really do. Minnesota's brutal, dude. And there are plenty of places. I get it. You know, and a lot of us sort of have the luxury to a degree of where we want to work. And when you play in the NBA, you're a little bit more limited. Right? If you wanted to pack up and you wanted a job somewhere, you could go. If you wanted to go to Blue Heaven, you could go to Blue Heaven. Jimmy Butler can't go to Blue Heaven.
Blue Heaven, what's that, Durham?
Oh, God. That's Blue Hell, man. Blue Devils. No, and, you know, I mean, it's a fine line, and you're right. I mean, I'm sick of spoiled athletes as well. But I'm just saying, Minnesota's brutal.
I mean, I get that.
I feel you, Jimmy.
But then it begs the next question. Why do we have franchises in these areas?
That's
nobody's
fine.
Ever going to win.
That's fine. I'm just saying, I feel Jimmy.
NBA needs contraction. Sorry, union, you can't have it all your way. All right, you want your players to have full leverage? Great, we're going to limit the number of teams there are. That way there are not as many players that are part of the union. Sorry, hardcore business, baby.
Ed's got the answers. Gary Hess joins us now. Hi, Gary.
Oh, yeah, I'm the answer man. Yeah, sure.
Hey, I just heard from the Sportsline historian because we were saying it's been a while since we've talked with Gary Hess. And I didn't know how long it's been. March 21st. Apparently,
really?
The last time we've talked to you. I could swear. I'm calling into question the Sportsline historian. I think it's been
I know it's been a long time. I figured you guys just forgot about me.
No, Ed's got a problem with your potty mouth.
Well, there's that. I get that.
I'm envious of it.
He's envious
of it. I can own that. You know, don't be afraid to put a delay in.
No, I'm petitioning to the FCC and something I know I'm not going to win, and that is just relax the standards.
Don't be afraid to put a delay in. You work in the industry, Gary.
You know what's funny is we have a delay on both of our AM stations in Richmond, and I personally have never needed it.
That was kind of my point. I can't imagine you're running around cursing on the airwaves in Richmond.
I just save it for you guys.
Yes! And we appreciate that. No, it's good to have you back, man. How's everything?
Everything is good, man. It's that crazy time of year where, you know, I am just immersed in high school football, which you guys, you know, probably don't care about, Richmond high school football.
Dad's a big fan of children's football.
I'm the Lynchburg, Roanoke area, but not necessarily Richmond.
I will tell you this. Our game this Friday involves Clover Hill. Now, that means nothing to you guys, but the coach of Clover Hill is former Jefferson Forest star Brian Jennings.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay. Clover Hill.
I was thinking the movie, but that's Clover Field.
Yeah, there you go.
Sorry.
Yeah, so yeah, Brian Jennings is the coach of Clover Hill, former Jefferson Forest and Hokie standout.
Are they good?
They are. That's to be determined, Rich.
Fair enough.
They are off to a 3-1 start, and let's just say they've only played one really good team.
Okay. Is that the game they lost?
Yes.
Okay.
But having said that, I mean, they're a candidate to go maybe 6-4 and make the playoffs. I mean, 6-4 would be a nice step forward in Jennings' first year there. So,
in the VHSL, 6-4 might get you a bye.
Yeah, that's true. You're right about that. But and it's funny because the Division VI corner that Clover Hill's in, there's only 9 teams in the group, and 7 of them make the playoffs.
Oh, love the VHSL.
Everyone's a winner, baby. Everyone's a winner.
Love the VHSL. Hey, speaking of TBD, do the Virginia Tech Hokies kind of qualify in that category as, you know, we thought they might be really good, and now all of a sudden we see what Florida State's all about, and you have to reassess how good the Hokies are?
Well, I think Tech is pretty good. I just don't think we know yet how good. I mean, I think they're pretty good. They, you know, you're right. I think it's definitely let's wait and see, because Florida State is, wow. You know, that was a pretty good can Syracuse opened up on Saturday. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I would think that the jury is definitely out on the Hokies.
Jury out on Virginia Tech. When you look at their upcoming schedule, it's not going to be this weekend at Old Dominion. This is not the team that went to a bowl game a couple of years ago. They've regressed a bit since then, or just don't have the same talent in place. Where on the schedule will you start to say, all right, I'm getting a real accurate feel for who Virginia Tech is because the quality of opponent goes up?
I just, you know, I think it'll be mid-October before we really know. I want to see, and it's not any one game. I want to see, you know, 2 or 3 games past Old Dominion, and then I think we'll have a pretty good barometer of whether Tech's a coastal contender or not. So, you know, I guess Miami's looking like a coastal contender. I don't know who else, and we'll just have to see. You know, I think Clemson is clearly the best team in the league, and then we'll see what happens after that.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. After week one, everybody was real quick to be like, whoa, Miami. You know, Virginia Tech clearly is the, you know, team to beat in the coastal. And then you see, and this is kind of what you were talking about earlier. Hey, you know, LSU's a pretty good football team. And Florida State's really not that good a football team. So, you know, everything kind of trends back to the middle. And you mentioned Old Dominion and then Duke. And obviously Duke's got some injury issues. And Ed's real down on Notre Dame. So, you're looking at the schedule wondering, really, you know, how good's Tech and when we're going to find out. But you think by mid-October or so we'll have a better idea?
I think we'll have obviously, you know, you are what your record says you are at the end, but I think we'll have a pretty good barometer by the middle of October. I really do. And I think we'll have a good barometer on, you know, how good LSU is, therefore how good Miami is. You know, can Florida State do it? There's a lot of questions that'll be unanswered in the middle of October, but enough will be answered to where we can get a realistic view of what the picture is going to look like.
Gary Hess joining us here on the Sports Line. Gary, we've talked quite a bit about Virginia Tech and the direction in which they're going. Is there anything that concerns you from what you've seen with the Hokies, or is it merely just you haven't seen them play a quality opponent yet, considering that they've had one game suspended because they're postponed because of weather, and the other has been against Florida State and William & Mary?
Yeah, I really want to see them play not just a really good football team. I want to see them play, you know, what we believe to be an equivalent football team. And to see, you know, a team that can really light up the scoreboard, how's that defense going to do? How will that secondary stand up? How will they, you know, how will the offense respond against somebody who's got, you know, outstanding defenders? You know, is the run game really, is it going to be sustainable? Is it, you know, these are the kind of questions. And then all these questions come together to form the overall answer about the Hokies. But, I think Josh Jackson's pretty good. I, you know, still want to see him, you know, do it. It's an interesting schedule with Duke being banged up. You know, what will that do? I do think the Notre Dame game is a great litmus test. I just think there's a lot. But I would just really like to see them play a team that's even, you know, equivalent to them. And, I think we all thought that Florida State was going to be. Certainly I did. I didn't expect the Seminoles to be a train wreck, but they certainly are. So we haven't seen it yet. It's going to take several weeks, but I really want to see how they do in the fire in a game where it's all on the line and there's some adversity and they're facing a team that is really capable. And then let's see what the Hokies are made of.
Before we dive into Virginia, I want to get more from you on Florida State, because in that Virginia Tech game, and to a degree Syracuse as well, wasn't watching that one as closely, obviously, as the season opener against Tech. But Willie Taggart really looked not ready for prime time. And, to take over a program like he's done, one of the comparisons that I draw in college basketball is just kind of reckoning back to Matt Doherty. And when he wound up getting the gig at Carolina, yeah, he'd been at Notre Dame for a short period of time, but, you know, maybe really in over his head. Is that fair or is that not fair?
I think that is an interesting comparison. I really, really do. You know, Taggart had, what, 1 year at Oregon, mm-hmm. and he did okay.
Right.
But, you know, I think, the comparisons you can make, what concerned me watching the Virginia Tech game is, now, we don't know what Tech is, but you know what? Tech, we could tell what Tech was trying to do. You could see that they had a clue as to what they were trying to accomplish offensively and defensively. I have no idea what Florida State was trying to accomplish offensively or defensively. And just, you know, obviously the results on the field tell me Willie Taggart's in over his head. But just the body language and the way he conducted himself on the sideline led me to believe that he's in over his head. I even watched, after the Virginia-Indiana game weekend before last, I flipped over and watched the end of the Florida State-Samford game. And, you know, how do you allow Samford to be ahead in the fourth? You know, that's just, there's just no excuse for that. And if you're Florida State. And so it is, they made a couple of plays, but even in that game, just the sideline body language just led me to believe that, you know, the disorganization, the lack of direction, the lack of vision is from the top, and it's sprinkling down to every aspect of the football team.
How much of this falls back on the culture that Jimbo Fisher left this in? Because it seems an awful lot like the way Urban Meyer left Florida, with a lot of crumbling shambles that was going to be tough for anybody to clean up.
You know, that's a good point, and I don't know whether that speaks to the crumbling shambles or that speaks to you know, where the shambles already crumbling and Jimbo Fisher was just able to make, you know, chicken salad out of, you know what. I said, you know what?
I know.
You understand what I'm saying? I look at that question and I'm like, well, man, maybe Jimbo Fisher's that good. And I don't think necessarily he is, but, you know, Florida State played at a pretty good level, you know, without him. And so it's a small sample size. You know, is Willie Taggart going to be given an opportunity? I don't know. If they go 2-10, does he survive more than one year? I probably don't think so.
What do you think winds up happening? And I know it's just kind of total speculation here, but do you think they're that bad where he's out after a year? Or, you know, do you think he's able to turn the thing around? Or, I mean, maybe, you know, he gets another year or two, but never really, you know, amounts to much at Florida State. And the, you know, the program kind of drops off, I don't want to say the face of the earth, but drops off the map as one of the elite programs in college football.
I got nothing more for you than a gut feeling, and my gut feeling is that this Florida State team will play better later in the season than it has through the first three games and will win a few games. I'm not saying it's going to be a stellar season, but they are, you know, they're 1-2. They're not going to go 1-11. But, it, you know, maybe 4-8, 5-7, they'll get their legs a little bit. However, I do believe that the days of Florida State being in the upper echelon of programs in the country is gone for the immediate future. I mean, I don't see Willie Taggart taking Florida State back to the top of the mountain. I just don't see that happening. But I don't necessarily think they're going to be this bad the rest of the season. But the days of Florida State being in the playoff discussion are gone for at least, you know, the next, you know, 5 to 8 years probably.
Gary, a program that was in shambles, although the perspective is much different, that's Virginia. So far, they're 2-1. They got the game in against Ohio to get them to that second win of the year. They start ACC play this weekend against Louisville at Scott Stadium. You like the trajectory that this team is on with Bryce Perkins and Zaccheaus and Jordan Ellis?
I like the trajectory they're on. If I was a Virginia fan, I wish the trajectory had a little steeper angle to it. It's the trajectory is slower than I would want it to be. But I'll say this about Bryce Perkins. Bronco finally has his kind of quarterback. And Zaccheaus is really good, and they found a way to get him the ball. But, you know, that's a Mid-American Conference team. You know, that's against Ohio. You know, Miami looked great against Toledo. They play good football in the Mid-American Conference, but it's not the ACC. So, I hate to be elusive, but what the trajectory is for this UVA team, this UVA program, is still kind of to be determined. They were picked to finish last. Do I think they might be a little better than that? Maybe a little better than that, but, you know, I think they're going to be hard-pressed to make a bowl game this year.
What are your expectations?
I think if you were a UVA fan, you would expect the trajectory, based on the reputation Bronco Mendenhall came to Charlottesville with, to be faster than it's been. Part of this speaks to just how far down Mike London took this team, this program, but it's the improvement has been more of a snail's pace than I would have wanted to have seen.
You all in on Bryce Perkins? Where are you at with him right now?
I am. I'll see you and I'll raise you, but I'm not all in.
Okay.
I think he has some potential. I think having Zaccheaus is going to help him. A couple other playmakers. You know, when you got a Jordan Ellis and you got a Zaccheaus, and then you can run a little bit and you can do the dual threat thing, they've got some pieces. My biggest concern, a bigger concern to me in Charlottesville on offense, is not Perkins. It's the five guys in front of him. That's the that's the crew that's got to come together and elevate its game if Virginia is going to take it to the next level this year.
And again, you don't quite think that Virginia's a bowl team this year, but you're on board with Bronco, and you think the arrow's pointing up.
I think the arrow is pointing slightly up. I'm cautiously on board. I'm not in the fire Bronco right now or at the end of the season camp, but I'm, looking at things with a skeptical eye. I'm not ready to say Bronco is the guy who's going to bring UVA back. But I do believe that from a program standpoint, they are slightly trending up. You would think it would be more of an upward trajectory, but it's not. So that's the way I see it. What about you guys?
Well, Gary, we're running short on time. Ed's got one more for you.
I've
got
to get the obligatory Redskins question in. How amused are you at how excited the fans got, particularly over Adrian Peterson in Arizona versus the Adrian Peterson and the Redskins we saw against Indianapolis?
Let me tell you, I'm amused because, we've learned one thing through the Redskins' performance the first 2 weeks of the season. And that one thing is that the Arizona Cardinals are really, really bad.
Yes, they are.
That's all we know. The other thing I will tell you is if the Redskins can circle the wagons and figure things out, the NFC East is there to be had, because it's going to take a few weeks for Carson Wentz to get his legs under him, and the Eagles are, it's tough to defend the Super Bowl. The NFC East is there for the taking for the time being, but the Redskins can't start 4-4 and then start figuring things out. If they're going to, am I confident that's going to happen? No, I'm not.
Gary, I can promise you this, it won't be 6 months again.
That's fine. I'm glad of that. It's always great to catch up with you guys, and have a good one.
Look forward to doing it again soon. Thank you, Gary.
Peace. See you later.
You and your quick hook.
I mean, you just don't know what's coming out at the end. I wanted to get him out while we were ahead.
Quick break. We're coming back. Stay tuned.